Following in a long line of New York State politicians facing corruption charges, former Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin is looking for a reprieve from the U.S. Supreme Court. The Harlem Democrat was arrested in the spring of 2022, less than a year after being elevated from the state Senate, and quickly resigned and was dropped as Governor Hochul's running mate that year. For the latest developments in this case and how it fits into the historical context, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by John Campbell, the Capitol reporter for WNYC and Gothamist. Welcome back to the show, John.
Thanks for having me, David.
So before we get into the current legal drama involving Benjamin, can you explain what alleged illegality Benjamin committed, according to federal prosecutors?
Yeah, absolutely. Brian Benjamin was the lieutenant governor of New York for a period of time, a very brief period of time. Before that, he was a state senator, and he ran for New York City comptroller. And he's accused of securing a state grant for a nonprofit run by a developer by the name of Gerald Migdahl. And in return for that, Gerald Migdahl was accused and pleaded guilty to providing Brian Benjamin with campaign contributions. And the federal government, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, claims that that is a quid pro quo and amounts to bribery. He's also accused of lying about it in some form on vetting forms when he was becoming lieutenant governor of New York State, when Governor Kathy Hochul was vetting him for that position. There's a line on one of those forms where he was asked, you know, have you ever taken a action on behalf of a donor, a government action on behalf of a campaign donor, and he answered no, essentially. So those are the two things that he is accused of and remains accused of.
So it is not uncommon for donors to state lawmakers, as well as the governor, to also benefit from actions taken by those same politicians. So when does this become illegal? When does it become a quid pro quo, as you mentioned?
Well, quid pro quo in Latin, for all the Latin heads out there, means this for that. And it becomes illegal when there is an arrangement, an explicit arrangement, that says, I will take this action in exchange for that. Now, there's some debate among the different appeals courts about how explicit that needs to be. That's something that actually has come up in Brian Benjamin's case, but that is the center of what's going on here. Is he is accused of taking an action, securing a government grant, about $50,000, in exchange for $25,000 in campaign donations. And that is what the government says is illegal.
Back in 2022, Benjamin scored what turned out to be a temporary victory in this criminal case. Can you walk us through what happened and how that good news for Benjamin and his legal team ended up being short-lived?
Yeah, absolutely. He moved to dismiss the case, and a district judge at the time, a U.S. district judge by the name of Paul Etkin, he did dismiss the most serious charges, the bribery charges, the bribery-related charges, because he said that there wasn't essentially a quid pro quo alleged, that the government, the federal government, federal prosecutors didn't do a good enough job showing in the indictment that there was this for that arrangement. So the most serious charges were dismissed at that time. The charges regarding the falsification of records, that those stuck. But like I said, those were the less serious of the charges he was facing. But it did end up being temporary because we saw recently that the appeals court, the second U.S. Circuit Court for the U.S., overturned it and overturned that decision and reinstated those charges. So he continues to face these five felony charges, bribery related and falsifying document related.
So another player in this drama that you mentioned is Gerald Migdahl, a real estate developer and homeless shelter operator. What, I guess, for lack of better words, happened to him that also complicates this?
Yeah, it really does complicate things because he was slated to be the star witness, essentially, for the federal government. And he, unfortunately, has passed away since these charges were originally brought. So there is some question about what the U.S. Attorney's Office intends to do moving forward here, because they no longer have the person who was expected to be their star witness. So far, they haven't said much about this case beyond what they've said in paperwork and in court. So there is still some question there about what may happen going forward.
What outreach has Benjamin's legal team made to the U.S. Supreme Court in this case?
Yeah, and that's why we're talking here, is because Brian Benjamin's attorneys have filed an application with the Supreme Court, basically asking for more time to file an actual appeal to the state, to the Supreme Court, and or to file a paperwork asking for the right to appeal to the Supreme Court. So that is what's going on now. He made this appeal for more time to Sonia Sotomayor, one of the Supreme Court justices, and she granted that request. So now he is going to have a few extra months. Part of that is because there's another pending case before the Supreme Court regarding kind of public corruption cases like this that could affect his appeal one way or another. But yeah, he's got more time until basically late summer to file his next paperwork with the Supreme Court. But it does signal that he's at least considering this, that he wants to take his case to the Supreme Court, and that's the first time that we've seen that, put in writing, essentially.
Well, there's precedent for the U.S. Supreme Court to have impact on the corruption charges facing New York politicos, whether it's elected officials or advisors. Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has primarily to do with legislative leaders in the past. Joe Bruno was the Senate Majority Leader for years, and he was convicted of at his corruption trial of various bribery-related offenses. But then there was a Supreme Court decision, not with his case, but a different case that narrowed the law that he was charged under. So his case was overturned, and he went to another trial under the narrowed law, and he was acquitted. Similar things happened with Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver and Senate Leader Dean Skelos. They had similar things where they were convicted of corruption charges at trial, and then the Supreme Court ruled in the McDonnell case, which is he was the Virginia governor, narrowed the law that they were charged under. Then they faced a second trial. But unlike Bruno, Sheldon Silver and Dean Skelos both were convicted on their retrial. So difference there. More recently, Joe Prococo, who was a top aide to Andrew Cuomo, was this brother-like figure to Andrew Cuomo. He actually took his own case to the Supreme Court, did get one of his felony convictions overturned, but others still stuck.
Well, we're talking about a case that dates back more than 2 years at this point. So is there an end in sight?
Well, with these corruption cases, they seem to just keep going and going and going, especially when they work their way through the federal courts. You know, the court system does not run at a sprint. It is more of a long-distance run. So, yeah, I think this is something that we'll continue to see going for the weeks and months ahead. There's a key difference, too, with Brian Benjamin's case versus those other cases that we just mentioned with Sheldon Silver, et cetera, is that he has not gone to trial yet. All of this minute legal maneuvering is before his trial. And, the original judge dismissed part of his case before he ever went to trial. So that could actually hurt his chances with getting his case before the Supreme Court. But on the other hand, there is, as the appeals court made clear in their ruling, there is a lot of dissension between the different circuit appeals courts about some of the things that he is raising. So that could be ripe for a Supreme Court challenge, but maybe not until after his case is done.
Well, we're going to leave that conversation here. We've been speaking with John Campbell. He's a Capitol reporter for WNYC and Gothamist. John, thanks for stopping by and offering some pro bono legal advice.
Thanks. No problem, David.
And for more Capitol Press Room content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a statewide union of nearly 700,000 professionals in education and healthcare.